Hi, my name is Sarah Hammer.
One of the things that is core to the first year is working on a learning team.
When we look at an application, what may be striking at the end of the day is an application that's genuine, sincere, and thoughtful.
It's important to say what Wharton is not. Wharton is not a boutique. It's not a niche player in the market.
We are the most popular club in the Wharton MBA program. We have over 1,000 members.
We scored pizza. Oh, it's the all-encompassing
like
vegetable ones.
I'm Janet Nakano for MBA Podcaster, and this is A Day in the Life at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
So today was, I guess, you know, I feel like everybody always says this, but there's no like typical day, right? Every day is a new adventure.
That's MBA student Sarah Hammer.
Today I woke up, I woke up at 8. I was able to shower, get dressed in 25 minutes, and then I was out the door and walked for half an hour to campus. On my walk, sometimes I listen to my iPod, but this morning I actually was talking to a friend of mine who has an interview at Wharton tomorrow. So it's just kind of telling her a little bit about the culture of the school and prepping her for her interview.
Sarah says one key characteristic of Wharton is its student-driven initiatives. With about 800 MBAs in each class, students can be involved in a range of areas of the school.
So just to give you an example, with Welcome Weekend, me and two other students led committees in organizing that. And we worked with someone in the admissions office very, very closely in executing that. But talking to friends who go to other schools, they have people in the admissions office whose job is to run Welcome Weekend. So it's a different perspective that Wharton has that I think is really valuable because, in my opinion, the students know best kind of what the incoming admits may be feeling and thinking would want to see because they went through it a year before. And incoming students really want to have that connection with the students that are currently on campus.
Students also can choose to get involved in among the 80 to 85 different clubs available on campus. Christy Ringen is Director of Student Life.
Our student clubs are driven by student demand, student idea, what's going on in the industry at the time. So our students really have complete freedom over which clubs they want to make active in any given year. The most popular ones are, I would say it's a division between the international and cultural clubs and the professional clubs. The international cultural clubs are popular because they give our students a chance to bond with people from their own culture and country. But more importantly, that group then goes and sort of spreads its culture throughout the rest of Wharton. The professional clubs, it kind of goes without saying, are very popular. Usually finance and consulting are the two most popular clubs. Over the past year, we've seen an increase in interest in the social impact club because we're finding more students want to go into nonprofit jobs, either immediately when they get out of school or a few years later.
Sarah is co-president of the marketing club. Her major is marketing, and she says she's already secured a position in the field.
I worked at Unilever over the summer. They manufacture all kinds of products, everything from Dove to Axe. I worked on Skippy Peanut Butter this summer. They make Hellman's Mayonnaise. They make all kinds of brands. It's a great company, and it was my first choice. And so I worked there for 11 weeks. I lived in Manhattan and commuted to New Jersey. It was like a 15-minute carpool ride. So that was great. I loved it. I had the best time. And when I got the offer at the end of the summer, it was a pretty clear decision. So I'm also lucky in the sense that a lot of people recruited second year for jobs, and I was able to accept my summer employer's job, be really excited about going back and be able to enjoy second year. It was a little more relaxed for me.
Sarah may have her job search out of the way, but she still has a busy school schedule. Her first class began this morning at 9 o'clock.
At 9, I have an art history class. It's the history of art and architecture in Byzantium, which is very random, but the professor's fabulous. So I really wanted to take the class. And one of the other cool things about Wharton is that you can take classes outside of the Wharton curriculum.
Peggy Bishop Lane is Wharton's deputy vice dean and adjunct associate professor of accounting. She says the curriculum is designed to begin with what they call preterm in August.
They go through some rather basic courses, math, accounting, microeconomics, and statistics, to try to bring everybody up to a level playing field. And then that gets them set up for basically their fall semester, where they're starting in the core. We have a program where students can waive courses in which they have prior academic experience, especially when it's significant. And so the waiver process allows some students to go ahead and take some electives in their first year as well.
And how many electives can they take?
Well, we think about things in terms of credit units. The full core is 10 credit units, and most of our core classes are half credit units classes. So we end up with somewhere in the order of 17 or 18 core courses. Let's say someone took the full core, that would leave them 9 credit units of electives that they have to take. So we require 19 credits to graduate, but they can take up to 21 credits, so anywhere from 9 to 11 credit units. Most electives are full credit units, but there are some that are half. So.
And Sarah, she's taking an art history course.
Yeah.
So I guess students...
How does she do that? Yeah. So in the curriculum, in this 19 credit units that we require, 19 graduate credit units, we require 15 of them to be from Wharton. So that means a student could take 4 credit units at the graduate level outside of Wharton. So in this case, art history, a lot of students would take classes at the law school if they're relevant, possibly the engineering school, especially kind of biomedical or bioengineering type classes that make some sense for students. Others try to branch out into languages or firm up languages they have. So there's definitely opportunity to do that too.
And everyone graduates within 2 years. They can't stay an extended semester?
Well, there's a little bit of flexibility there through the August, summer after their standard May graduation. Mostly that is to enable some exchange program activity. So one of our primary exchange partners is INSEAD in France and Singapore, and they have a period that's very attractive to our students. It's the May-June period for them. So our students don't have to give up any of their time at Wharton. They can go to INSEAD in May and June. All they have to do is delay their graduation to August.
So the second year, the students start working on their concentrations.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about some of the popular ones?
Yeah, sure. So just in terms of language, in the graduate school here, we use the term major, although it's interesting, in the undergraduate division, they use the term concentration. So they mean the same thing, but different verbiage there. Our most popular major, you could imagine, at the Wharton School is finance. But what a lot of people do is they actually double major. So they might major in finance and marketing or finance and entrepreneurship. So what we've seen over the past few years is a fairly good rise in other majors, in particular the two that I just mentioned, entrepreneurship and marketing, as well as strategic management. What we've also done in the last year is added a general management major, where you don't have to focus on a particular type of management course here at Wharton, but you could combine them. And so that's becoming more popular as students learn about it. Outside of official majors, one area that's particularly popular in the last few years is what we call a private equity area of interest. It's not a major per se, but students are very interested in it, and a lot of them will try to carve out what we call an individualized major. So we have this opportunity where if one of our, I think it's 17 or 18 traditional majors, doesn't fit with a student's particular area of interest, they can create their own major as long as there's a theme that's approved by a faculty member. And a lot of students have looked to this field of private equity to create their individualized major. Another area that's gaining interest in a similar vein is social responsibility.
This is MBA Podcaster. Stay tuned to the rest of the program after a brief word from our sponsor.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT-exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to explore program options including a 2-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9 session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit manhattangmat.com/MBA Podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
Here's where we are. Here's the product. Here's where they're going. Whatever. Here's the whatever, the four-piece, five-piece, six-piece, whatever.
It's 3 in the afternoon, and Sarah has a class on advertising management.
What's the positioning matrix? So in their portfolio of products, here's where they stand up, or maybe competitively, here's where they stand up. Here's what I can infer their communication strategy.
After class, Sarah says she has a couple errands to run.
We are going to the leadership office. We're currently doing interviews right now for a program called Leadership Fellows. So we had a meeting all day yesterday, and I just need to check in on one kind of fact-finding thing that we were going to do today. So we're going to go upstairs. So this is Huntsman Hall. There are four levels. The undergrads who are in the Wharton program usually are on like the bottom two levels, and I think the MBA students are usually in the top two. It gets kind of crowded. There's always a little bit of a fight for the study space. But it's a fun building, and it's nice to have all the MBAs in kind of one area.
I just sent you one.
I can talk to Albert about that.
Do you know if Lynn's back there?
I don't. I haven't been back that far.
Okay, all right. She helps run the leadership program.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I just wanted to check in.
Yeah, I have an answer.
And I saw you talking to Janet in the hall.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're going to have them go through.
Okay, good.
And then we're going to open up the process at this level
for feedback
to everybody.
Sounds like Sarah needs to step into a confidential meeting, so we'll catch up with her in just a bit. Wharton offers an array of leadership opportunities. Jeff Klein is director of the Graduate Leadership Programs.
One of the things that is core to the first year of the MBA at Wharton is working on a learning team. And that's a team of 5 to 6 students that are together for the entire academic year and that are working together both on projects for various courses, whether that's the leadership course, marketing, strategy, statistics, but then also focusing on how they're developing as a team and using that team experience as an opportunity to learn both about group dynamics, about their own leadership styles, and then to give each other feedback and facilitate 360-degree feedback sessions. So that learning team experience is kicked off with our annual learning team retreat, which happens at the end of our preterm period and really serves as the bridge between the preterm orientation and the beginning of the academic year. So that's a 2-day retreat that every MBA student attends. Our fellowship programs are they're selection-based processes. They're very competitive. And we take groups of students who have both an interest in personal development but also an interest in service to the Wharton community. And the leadership fellows serve as TAs for the core leadership course, Management 652, which is required for every student. They design and deliver the learning team retreat where first-year students meet their learning teams. And then they serve as facilitators and coaches and mentors for 4 learning teams throughout the course of the academic year. A second fellowship program we have are the Venture Fellows. And these are also second-year students who are receiving specific training in experiential learning, in facilitating groups, in coaching students, in managing conflict and ambiguity, but doing all of that in outdoor expedition environments. And so we have 2 venture fellows associated with each of the leadership ventures. And their role on those ventures is really to design and deliver that educational experience.
Yeah, later, yeah. All right. So we were meeting. We meet often. but we were meeting to discuss kind of next steps in the recruitment process for leadership fellows. So we have an awesome pool of first-year candidates who have applied to be fellows, which is essentially mentors for next year's class. And we're just going through the motions of each round, kind of figuring out our next pool of first years that we're going to interview. So we have first round is an application round, and then we have 2 rounds of interviews. So it's a pretty thorough process, and by the end of it, we really feel like we know the candidates well and have enough data points to make great decisions. So, all right, so we'll go on a campus tour. Okay. So this is Locust Walk. And the cool thing about Penn, I think, that maybe differentiates it from some of the other graduate schools is that you have a lot more interaction, I think, with like the undergrads and the other graduate schools. This is Locust Walk, and essentially all of the Penn buildings, academic buildings, are kind of along this walk. And so as a student, you can kind of go through and you kind of see what the undergrads are up to, which is interesting. And they're always kind of handing out flyers and, I don't know, advertising their sororities and fraternities. And so it's more of a holistic, all-encompassing campus, I think, and the MBAs aren't separated from it, which, you know, is kind of nice. These, you can see these houses. These are actually the undergrad fraternity and sorority houses.
Right on campus.
Yeah. There are a couple that are off campus, but there are definitely a few kind of scattered around that are here. And let's see, there's a famous Ben Franklin statue of him sitting on the bench. Students live about half an hour away walking in Center City, so off campus. And you can either get to campus, we take the bus, or we take cabs. We share cabs. It's like $2 if you can split the cab with three other people. Or it's a good like half hour walk, which is a lot of, it's nice exercise. So I try to walk.
It's 5:30, and every Thursday night, Wharton has what they call pub. Sarah claims it's the highlight of the week, and it sure seems like it. Matt Latman is one of PUP's committee members.
We are the most popular club at the in the Wharton MBA program. We have over 1,000 members, and people can buy weekly passes also. So we probably have, we usually have about 600-700 people come in every week to pub, and we provide beer and pizza for that fee, which is $135 a year. We work with clubs who can sponsor it and decorate pub and bring in all sorts of food and specify what beers that they have and give a theme to it. And all these decorations here are this week's pub sponsor, so which is Japan Club. And this happens every week. It changes sponsors. So we do a different theme every week. We bring in different beer every week, and we all have a great time.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Mimi.
What's your last name?
Sue. Mimi Sue.
Mimi and I worked together at Unilever this summer.
Are you going to work there afterwards, too?
That's what I'm trying to decide right now. It's either between Clorox or Unilever.
So when do you have to decide by?
Monday.
Okay.
Really?
No clue. I try to get my offer extended, but they won't call me back.
It's my husband.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Ross.
You're recruiting right now, right?
Yeah, I'm still in the recruiting process.
How's that going?
It's okay. It's going. I'm going through the hedge fund recruiting process. So it's kind of a bit of a haphazard process. Some through on campus, and some you have to kind of work on your own. So it's not as a set process as some of the others. So you have to kind of work your own network a little bit.
Where are you hoping to work?
Looking to be in New York, and my wife is going to be working there next year too. So
that makes
it pretty easy to know I have
that's
to be
right.
there.
We scored pizza. Oh, it's the
all-encompassing
like vegetable ones.
So after this, I'll probably be here for another few hours, maybe till like 8 or 9. And then a group of us are going to go to hear Cold War Kids. It's just a kind of a band that we all like who's playing in Philly. So every Thursday night, different clubs host pretty big parties in the Philly area. So Europa, a club that is kind of run and focuses on European students, is hosting a Moulin Rouge party. I don't know exactly what that entails, but I'm probably not going to go to that just because I have a big day tomorrow and kind of need to get some work done. So, yeah, so that's my night. That's kind of a typical night, except usually we go to the party after.
With more than 200 faculty members and over 36,000 MBA alumni, the Wharton School is one of the largest business schools in the country. Dean Thomas Robertson.
Wharton is the first business school. It was established 126 years ago. And Wharton has been refining the craft of being a business school for those 126 years. What's important to us is that the faculty is at the cutting edge of research and developing new knowledge in business, and that our students have very, very rigorous and relevant learning experiences. It's important to say what Wharton is not. Wharton is not a boutique. It's not a niche player in the market. Wharton is a broad, full-range school. We have a very large portfolio of departments and majors and research centers and cover, I think, the full range of business topics and opportunities. So we're not just in the usual subjects of finance and accounting, let's say, but we also have a real estate department, or we have insurance, or we have legal studies and business ethics. We have healthcare management, and I could go on, but Wharton is a large, multifaceted school, many departments, and 24 research centers, which are conducting research in these various areas, hoping to generate knowledge which will increase economic and social value.
Emily Sieri is managing director of Wharton's entrepreneurial programs. She says their focus is to teach students how to build a business from a high-growth perspective.
So from the onset, thinking, how can you build a business that's going to be scalable, which this is seen in our research and carried over into our teaching programs as well as our co-curricular programs. One of the things that's, I think, unique about entrepreneurship and powerful about our program is the diversity of entrepreneurship. We're housed academically in the management department, but entrepreneurship cuts across finance and operations and marketing and legal aspects, and we have courses, or there are courses in all of those various departments that are included in the majors. So we have 40-some courses that are included in the major that cut across 6 different academic departments. So it's very diverse in nature, and it really allows students to tailor their curriculum so they can really get what they need from an academic perspective as they're looking at their entrepreneurial career.
More than 6,000 candidates apply to Wharton each year, and less than 20% are offered admission. May Jennifer Shores is Senior Associate Director in MBA Admissions and Financial Aid.
75 to 80% of the people who apply are fine academically and professionally, so it's some of the more qualitative dimensions of the application that come to the surface. Things like leadership skills, interpersonal skills, personal qualities, which of course are as broad as human nature, whether that be maybe a little bit of initiative or someone who's entrepreneurial or someone who's just a good, solid citizen who contributes and gives back to his or her community. And so what stands out is often not what candidates or people on the other end of the application think is what stands out. We do have some amazing people in the program and some who will obviously be the types you're going to see one day on the cover of Newsweek or Financial Times. There are some people who've been Olympic athletes, worked on nuclear submarines, but the bulk of people are just good, solid citizens. And so when we look at an application, what may be striking at the end of the day is an application that's genuine, sincere, and thoughtful. Somebody has actually taken the time to think through the issues, to communicate to us in a very straightforward way who they are, and help us understand their thought process surrounding this decision. It's not necessarily about being the best writer, being a future Nobel laureate. This is not an English literature program, but people who just communicate clearly. We do have people from around the world in the program, so sometimes essays can be quite charming when there are a few little grammatical errors in English, but the message is clear.
So most of this comes through what you just talked about through in the essays.
The essays are one part of it, and certainly recommendation letters can tell us a lot about a candidate. Recommenders, if they know a candidate well, can speak to what they've observed in the candidate, the interactions they've had with the candidate, what they see in terms of potential going forward. So that's another way of learning about a candidate, certainly how someone spends their free time, whether it be extracurriculars or community service, says a lot about what they value, what you invest a lot of time in, and hopefully we hope you invest in some things outside of work or school, says a lot about who you are as a person, even what you may have studied as an undergrad, if you maybe did a major that was unique and it wasn't like business or economics, or you took some courses or did an exchange program, might tell us a little bit about who you are on a qualitative dimension too. And then, of course, when we interview candidates, that's another opportunity to get to know someone on a personal level, know a little bit about their values, what they feel passionate about. And that is another way of learning about some of these more qualitative dimensions.
What kind of person do you look for?
We look for people who are very well-rounded, well-balanced, either in thought and or deed. There is no set profile, and that is probably the most frustrating part
for candidates or applicants to the program. We don't look for a particular personality type, a particular background, or people who are necessarily going to go any one career upon leaving the school. So we look for people who are thoughtful, people who are informed about what an MBA is, know what it can do for them, have really thought through their reasons for pursuing the degree, and have a general sense of where they want to go after they graduate.
Tuition to the program is close to $42,000 a year, which Shore says changes periodically.
It is an investment in your future, and we tell people to keep that in mind because it does feel like a daunting price when you think about it up front. In terms of fellowships and scholarships, we have a number of different ones. Probably some of the more prominent ones are some corporate and foundation fellowships that we have. One of them might be the Forte Fellowship, which is through the Forte Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that is designed to promote women in business. There's the Robert A. Twigo Foundation, which offers scholarships to underrepresented minorities in the U.S., whether they be African Americans, Hispanic Americans, or Native Americans. We have some general purpose fellowships and scholarships like the Joseph Wharton Fellowship, and that's awarded based on the strength of the entire application. There are some other fellowships that we have that are targeted towards Europeans or Mexican citizens. There is an Emerging Economies Fellowship. We recently made an agreement for a fellowship that will be available to people from the Middle East once they're admitted. So there's a variety of scholarships and fellowships we award. We provide full information at the time people are admitted in terms of how they can apply for them and express an interest, and then we meet by committee to award them.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning, and Sarah is meeting with a few MBA students at the Greenfield School in Center City. She says she was up at 7:45.
Which is unusual. You don't usually wake up that early on a Friday morning, but there was some stuff I needed to get done, and I just had to be up by 8. And now I'm at BizWorld, which is just an organization where we teach 5th and 6th graders a little bit about business. So today is the second session out of 3. We're going to be teaching them how to price their friendship bracelets that they made last week, and just a way to price it and sell it so that they make money because they've already spent a certain amount of money kind of creating their bracelets to date. So it'll be about that, and I think they're going to do a little bit about marketing. So how exactly they're going to market their friendship bracelets to the second graders.
You guys waiting for somebody to come up, or can because I just saw one of the teachers and they said you could go on up.
So we're going upstairs to meet the kids. Good answer. Okay. And so you guys have made your bracelets, and you're now kind of ready to figure out the next step, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what we're going to talk about right now is we're going to talk about pricing. So when you go to a store... And
Sarah has a busy day ahead, teaching class, another leadership fellows meeting, then off to a winter ball. For MBA Podcaster, I'm Janet Nakano in Philadelphia.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit manhattangmat.com/MBA podcaster to explore program options including a 2-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9 session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit manhattangmat.com/MBA podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.